a fellow freight hopper of many, many years, New York Slim.
Well, and hello, America.
How's it going? You don't need to say where you're at, but what's the weather like there?
Cold. It's getting cold everywhere.
Yeah.
Yeah, we just come in from a ride. We got snowed on in Cheyenne and rained on in Denver and Grand Junction and kind of headed back west. And from what we understand, the snow is on its way. I guess winter's coming early this year.
Very much Indian summer here right now. It's hot. I wish you some sunshine from California. Very hot.
I may be on my way to California to get it myself.
Are you going to be in Tucson at all this winter?
Yes, I'm going to do the gym show every year. I try to do it. It's good money. And this year, the guy really, really needs me. Actually, he needs anybody he can. He kind of lost a few people that normally come every year. So he's looking forward to some other hobos showing up and working for him because right now we have no crew whatsoever. So if there are any hobos out there listening to this broadcast, the gym show in Tucson, Arizona, we need people to work. It's a six-week deal, and it's good money.
What time of year is that?
It'll be from the 1st of January through February 16th.
So, Slim, I heard you fucked up your shoulder. How'd you do that?
Like I said, we just had one of those incredible rides, one of those rides where nothing goes right. We were headed out to Kansas City to meet some friends. And like I said, it snowed on us in Cheyenne. That's when I first realized that I was getting out of breath a lot. And then we took the wrong train, ended up in Denver. So we tried to cut back to Grand Junction. And just leaving Grand Junction, I slipped on a grainer and kind of popped my shoulder out of the socket.
Oh, man.
Which wasn't, that's not the bad part. The bad part is popping it back into the socket. And then the 3 day or 3 or 4 days worth of pain you got to go through afterwards.
Yeah, were you able to get any kind of painkillers pretty quickly or?
Well, yeah, relatively quickly. So, I'm not in a whole lot of pain right now thanks to good painkillers.
I hope you had some of the smokable kind immediately on hand.
Almost definitely.
That's always good medicine for whatever ails you.
Yeah.
So were you guys trying to get out to the Tramp Fest? I heard all these rumors this summer when I was on the rails. We ran into some punks up in Canada that told us that they were going to try to head out to Kansas City in October.
Right. Weekend in October, we were all supposed to meet there. And a bunch of people were supposed to meet there. And I, of course, didn't show up because I'm sitting here.
Right. But,
we made a valiant attempt until I popped my shoulder out.
So you said, you mentioned Denver and Grand Junction. Were you going completely the wrong way? I mean, did you think you guys were trying to catch an eastbound to Kansas City, but you were going west?
Once we left Cheyenne, we ended up on the Denver train. We actually were trying to backtrack because the quickest way to get there is just to go straight through North Platte.
Right.
So we were trying to backtrack, but we caught a series of wrong trains. It's kind of hot, especially in big cities, because of this Bin Laden guy.
Uh-huh.
And they are really, really, really going over freight trains with fine-tooth combs now. I mean, especially any train that goes anywhere by a military base.
Right. Yeah. And some of those yards up on that Cheyenne North Platte run are hot. Anyway, I always think of North Platte as a very hot yard. I'm always hanging super low when I go through there. Wow, sorry to hear about the bad luck. That sucks. Ouch. It seems like I've heard that those kind of... It was your shoulder, right?
Yeah.
I've heard those kind of injuries are almost worse than a break in terms of pain. And you say, putting it back in is very painful.
And when you're 56 years old, pain is just a little more intense than it used to be. I mean, I don't heal up, and I don't deal with it as well as I used to.
You're so well-preserved, Slim. I'm really amazed. I wouldn't have guessed that you were 56. I would have thought more early 50s. Yeah. But, what I do here on the Pirate Radio Station is a hobo show. Mostly music, but it's really a treat to... occasionally have folks into the studio with stories to tell, and you're calling long distance here, of course. Tell stories, whatever you want. Hobo gatherings, your travels, how you started, you know, that kind of stuff. And I actually wish we had a lot more time, because I consider you to be one of the most articulate tramps I've ever met. And but tell stories, anything you want.
Well, I don't know. I kind of put me on the spot right there. I don't have a story quite ready. I do have something that I want to say. I wanted to say that I don't really know what's going on anymore, because in all my travels, I've taken like 3 or 4 rides this year. And I remember when it used to be a beautiful thing. You take a ride, you ran into a bunch of people. And I don't know what's going on out there anymore, because there are no more people. This whole ride that we took through Cheyenne, down to Denver, up to Grand Junction, in the help of Utah. I mean, everything we did was almost a mistake. And I think we ran into one other traveler out there, and the train kind of backed up. Like I said, since this Ben Loudon thing is happening, it's kind of really, really hot everywhere. I mean, watch the train back up by the Air Force base so that the MPs could pull this guy off right there in Cheyenne. And
wow.
I'm just wondering where everybody's at.
Do you think it's possible some folks that normally would be out there this time of year are just off because of the heightened security?
Well, I'm wondering, are people just finding their own little place, their own little niche, and giving it up? And I think that would be a terrible thing. But, I mean, who knows? I found that, the same kind of bad element that's always out there is still always out there. And so when you don't run into good people or people that you can sit down and share a beer and a story with over the campfire, it's kind of rough. And this was one of the loneliest rides I've ever taken. And everybody who's ever ridden with me knows I always ride with my own little entourage. I mean, my brothers and I, we go this way. We don't have to really hunt for people to be company. We take our own company with us. But this time we were all kind of miserable and kind of bummed out about the fact that there was nobody. You know, we didn't see anybody anywhere.
Yeah, that's kind of making me sad just to hear about that, because, I don't know, I guess my rap for years now, people are saying, you know, like a lot of times you hear some of the way old-timers talking about it, and they say, it's just not the same, I hear that all the time, and I'm always kind of promoting this idea that, you know, there's a new generation, and of course there is, but we're just not in the numbers even that you're used to of, you know, the thousands of tramps that have been tramping for the last couple of decades out on the rails. I hope that this security deal that's happening right now is very temporary, and I suspect that it is, and I really hope that it is.
You know, I fear that it's not. One thing really did happen. I mean, this guy, they flew some airplanes into the World Trade Center and into the Pentagon. And in truth, I thought about this on my ride. If the government did not know that I left the town that I left and that I traveled about 1,500 to 2,000 miles in a great big circle, and that now I'm back where I started from. Nobody actually has any idea. And if I was a terrorist, I think I'd look into that mode of getting around, because it's somewhat secretive. So I think that the FBI and the CIA are smart enough to realize that, too. And from what I've seen, especially like we even had to split up to get back. I left the guys that I was riding with in Helper, and they could not get out of Helper. They got on the train, and the sheriff's department showed up, backed the train back into the yard. And just by virtue of the fact of the way we dress, you know, hobos always are the artist dressers. I mean, we look different. And today in America, I think that everybody's kind of on alert. I mean, it's a sad thing that happened. And it's really done something to the country, I think. And I think that the security is just going to get more and more intense. And I just hope that the young riders, who are a lot more agile and a lot more spry, can keep up with what's going to be going on, because So I see it coming. Yeah. I mean, that guy let America know that he could do real bad things anytime he wanted to.
Yeah.
I mean, he has people willing to die for whatever his cause is, whatever, however right or wrong. I'm not trying to make a value judgment on that. I'm just afraid, and I'm afraid for the young riders who are out there riding. I mean, I hope nothing happens. I hope this guy doesn't figure you out. My next response will be to derail 17 freight trains. I mean, that would be terrible. And it's kind of scary to me also.
Yeah, it does seem like certainly noticeable very much here on the West Coast, even in Santa Cruz, which is a famous old holdout for hippies and peaceniks and whatnot. It does seem like there's this pretty awful air of fear and paranoia out there among Americans right now, for good reason, maybe. I don't know. It's depressing to me. I'm going to still ride as hard as I can. I have a question for you, New York. What's up with the tramp heyday?
The what?
Oh, Dave handed me a note to ask you here. Take over. Dave's going to take over the guest mic here. I didn't understand the question.
Hey, Slim. All I was asking is,
I can't hear. Go ahead.
Slim, I wanted to hear about, tell about the good times back in the past when there was thousands of tramps out there and the jungles were crazy and Spokane was insane. And talk about some of those times.
I know, and I really miss them. I ran into a friend, a very, very old Indian friend, and we were talking about the same thing just the other day. I mean, how many camps that there always were in Spokane, and how beautiful it was, and we were laughing about the time that we were all camped over by the slaughterhouse, and one of those, a little piglet got loose. And you should have saw these tramps scurrying around trying to catch this pig because, I mean, we didn't know what we were going to do with the thing. And old Moose was still alive, and he dug the hole in the ground when we finally caught it, killed the pig, and we buried the pig in the ground. The wood that we used was pine, and pine doesn't make coals that last very long. And we all ate that pig, and every single one of us got sick. Every single one of us got sick because the pig hadn't been cooked long enough. I think we got what's called trichomosis or something like that.
Right.
How today, that's a funny story, but at the time we all hated him. We wanted to kill him. But today we laugh about things like that.
Yeah, it's so true. The hardships of the road become good stories later on down the line. Do you think that a lot of the reason why there just aren't those kind of where you don't see hobos and tramps hanging out in the jungles anymore is because the kids, the Flintstones, as a lot of the tramps...
For them, it's changed.
Uh-huh.
I tell you what I have noticed. La Crosse, Wisconsin, there's what we call Flintstone Central. They've got a house there. See, the kids don't do a lot of outdoor camping.
Jungling up, yeah.
Right. They squat. They find places that they can take over and try to make something out of an old abandoned building. And I actually like that. I think it's a little dangerous. Some of us older tramps don't like confrontations with police. We like to be a lot more silent than the younger generation. And one of the things that I love about the kids that are riding today, they didn't just disappear like we did. We disappeared. We escaped to the rails. These kids have their own kind of escape going on, but they have something to say, and they're saying it. I mean, just because they refuse to live in mainstream society and they escaped into the same kind of world that we old-timers did, they didn't escape as hard as we did, and that's why I admire them. I mean, they still have opinions on things and are not afraid to talk about them. They still believe that some of these old abandoned buildings need to be used, and they go show America that what we can do with this building. Like you guys, take over a little patch of woods and make a home out of it. And I mean, I think that's kind of a lot closer to what God intended for people to do. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
and so I do. I mean, I understand why I don't see the kids. And so my sadness for not seeing people is it's not my belief that there aren't a lot of young riders out there. I know they're there. I mean, Nico and all of those guys are probably in Kansas City cussing me out right now because I know they were out riding, you know, the Portland kids and all of those guys. It's the older guys. I'm realizing that we're not there no more, that we're thinning out, and I guess I'm grieving.
It's funny to hear you say the older guys because, I don't know, I mean, I even though I ride with mostly the youngin crowd, you know, the 20s and some of them in the 30s and stuff, I'm 47, and age-wise, I'm much closer to you than a lot of the folks I ride, you know, the younger Flintstone kids that ride and stuff. And it's funny to hear that, the older guys, because I also, you know, like Sidor Pullman Kid, who's 84, shows up at some of the hobo gatherings. We all love the guy. He's a great storyteller, just a hard-as-nails old geezer who was riding in the 30s. So it just sounds funny to hear about, but of course that generation has mostly passed away. There's very few of those guys around. And you're kind of that middle generation in between Sidor Pullman Kid and, say, Nico, who's 20. Nico, by the way, used to have a show on this station called Save the Fucking Children.
No kidding.
Yeah, he's an old pirate radio DJ. He hasn't had it for a couple of years now. In fact, I think he started it when he was 15 years old or something like that.
What a great guy, though. You know?
Yeah, yeah. He has. Nico was just in town recently. We had a really good time hanging out. It was really fun to see him, and he spent about 3 weeks, and we rode the local train a bunch of times while he was here and just had a ball. Slim, I would love to catch you in the Southwest sometimes this winter. I'm thinking of going to Shawmut Siding. Are you going to be there?
Well, I tell you what, I don't want to make promises because right. every time I promise something, something gets in the way. But I will say this. On my way to Arizona this year, I'm coming to visit you. I have got to stop by the little forest and see you guys. I got to spend a week or so down there with you guys.
Our home is your home, Slim. I hope you stay longer than a week. Yes, yes, yes. And we've got a lot of really fun adventures. How long's your shoulder happening? Is it, are they saying a couple months of healing?
6 weeks.
6 weeks of healing.
Yeah.
Nice. You know, Monkey and I are headed out to Tucson in a week, less than a week from now. But we're only going to be there a couple weeks. That's not going to overlap at all with your winter time. You're going to be there more in February
right.
or whatever.
The way I got it figured, I'm going to do my Thanksgiving here. And after Thanksgiving, I'm dragging my brother Wacker and me are going to head down that way. And what we're hoping is we can stop in and see you guys.
That would be so great.
And then going down and do this gym show thing and maybe even talk one or two of you guys going down with us. Because we are kind of really, really, really short. We lost Ozzie Terry. He caught the westbound. And Indian Breeze is not coming down anymore. And neither is Silver Miner Larry, and all of the guys that normally work that show will not be showing up. And I don't want to, my whole thing is this guy has employed us tramps and hobos for so many years. He doesn't know how to do without us, and in truth, I don't want him to know how to do without us. I mean, it's a good thing for us.
Job security.
I mean?
Nice. You know what would be such a treat? Slim, would be for you to do a station ID. Have you IDing our station? By the way, we're an illegal station. You probably knew that. That's why we can say fuck and shit on the air. It's an illegal station. At this point, I think it's the longest running station in the U.S. We've been going for about 7 years.
All right. Hello, America. God bless you all. This is the Hobo New York Slim, and I'm on 96.3 Free Radio Santa Cruz. God bless Pirate Radio.
All right, boys. Listen up to me again. I ain't going to have to tell you this another time. Unless you're going to go off and join the Teamsters, we got to get this train loaded up and out of here by 8:45 tonight, and the dispatcher have my ass.
There's a hobo getting on the chain down there.
Are you shitting me? There's a hobo in my yard.
Yeah, let's go open up and get a whoop ass on him now.
Go on, get him, boys. Open up a whole six-pack up on his ass. I allow the hobos in my yard. You know that? This train is bound for glory, man. And ain't no room and glory for no freeloader hobos. No, sir. Safeway.